Chapter 1. He was as tough and romantic as the city he loved. Behind his black-rimmed glasses was the coiled sexual power of a jungle cat. Oh, I love this.
Hi, this is Mary Wilson of The Supremes. And honey, I am up close with Savoir Fair on 91.5 WMFO in Medford.
Good evening, everyone. Yes, you are up close with Savoir Fair here. It is 10 p.m. on a Sunday night. That means it is time for Songs from the Squid Pod. And we have a very special edition of the Squid Pod this evening here. I was blessed to see Mary Wilson of the Supremes live in concert last night at Scullers Jazz Club. And also had a little interview with her, and that's what we're going to air right now. So stay tuned. Let me make sure I got everything queued up here. Buttons pushed. CDs inserted. Here we go.
You are listening to 91.5 WMFO Medford. I am Savoir Fair, your host for today. And joining me is a true pioneer of American music, Mary Wilson of the Supremes. Welcome to WMFO, Mary.
Thank you so very much.
It's our honor and a pleasure, I can assure you.
Thank you.
So let's get some facts out to our listeners for starters. You are in Boston this weekend, March 3rd through the 4th, for a two-day, four-show appearance at Scullers Jazz Club in Boston. Are there any other cities in the U.S. that you are planning on visiting next?
Well, I'm on sort of a short tour now. I've been to, where am I going? I've been to New York. I was there, New York, at B.B. King's. Hmm. And I went to Scullers in Boston now, that's where I am. I was in Las Vegas at the Smith Performing Arts Center there, and that was great. I was in Blues Alley in Washington, D.C., and I'm just sort of just doing a little jazz tour here at the beginning of the year. And I'm having a ball, you know, because there are not a lot of great jazz clubs around that are still left. And I told my agent that's what I wanted to do. So I'll be, you know, touring America, going to Arizona and just all kind of places doing this my up-close jazz show. And I'm just having a ball.
Excellent. Oh, we're glad to hear that. And yes, you are right. Obviously, I can't speak for other cities here, but here in Boston, which I consider, you know, a nice hotbed of local and upcoming music, but we are really bereft here of great jazz clubs here, but Scullers, of course, is one of them that has been around for a while. So we are just beside ourselves here that you have, decided to perform here and whatnot. All right, so I attended your show last night, and again, thank you for inviting me.
Yes.
I thought we'd touch upon some of the comments you made during the show. For instance, you spoke about how a few years ago you decided on focusing on your ballads as opposed to covers of the Supreme hits during your live performances. In fact, I loved your line, you know, tonight it's all about me.
Yeah. Well, you know, because for all my life I've always said we. You know, we did this, we did that, we, you know, and I said, now it's about the I, and it's been 50-some years of celebrating my success with the Supremes, and I'm very, very happy about it. But sometimes in life, you do have, it's like when you're on an airplane, and they say, before you help the person next to you, put your own mask on. I'm at that stage where I'm putting my own mask on right now, or taking my own mask off, let's put it that way.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's fun to have a career that you know, where you share it with three people like I did, the three of us, and I'm very happy. I often say that if I die and have to come back, I want to come back as Mary Wilson of the Supremes. But this is a good time in my life where I really am just searching for my own talent. It's kind of strange to say you're still searching for your talent after 50 years, but it's not like when you're young, you think everything happens overnight. After you've lived a full life, you realize you're still learning. You know, mm-hmm. life is about learning, and it's good to have a chance to explore who you are, and that's where I am in my career right now, exploring my own gift from God.
Right, right. Now, you performed I Am Changing from Broadway's Dreamgirls in honor of your friend and fellow Supreme, Florence Ballard.
Yes.
Would you mind elaborating on how the relationship between the two of you led to the creation of the Supremes? I know we're going back here.
Well, you know, people think that I kind of love Flo more than I love anybody else or Diane, and that's not true. I love all three of us. However, since Florence passed away in 1976, 40 some years ago, you know, she doesn't have a voice anymore, so I kind of talk up for her mm-hmm. more than I talk up for me or Diane. But it was Florence who started me in the group when we were in elementary school back in Detroit, Michigan. It was in 1959. And we did attend the same school, elementary school, and they had a talent show. I joined the talent show, and Florence was also on there. I didn't really know her. But after the show, we kind of migrated with each other, and she complimented me on how I had gotten the crowd really all crazy, you know, and everything, and I complimented her on her beautiful voice, because she had this really big, big, robust kind of voice. And I remember us walking home after school, and we made a vow. And we were like only 13 or 14 years old. We made this vow that, you know, they were putting the groups together, and if anyone wanted to put a group together, let's remember each other. And so she and I became best friends. A couple of days later, she came and told me on the school grounds there that her sister was dating this guy in this group, and the group wanted to put a group together. So her sister told them about her. Florence told them about me, and then someone else had gone across the street from where we lived and asked Diane if she wanted to join, because they somehow or another knew her, mm-hmm. and that's how the three of us got together.
Wow.
And did I tell you that the two members of that boys group were two members of who later became Temptations? That's Eddie Kendricks and Paul Williams.
Uh-huh.
So that's why we were kind of related to them.
right. So that time, you know, as you said, like everybody was kind of trying to put together groups. Mm-hmm. Was it really like a whirlwind, you know, back then in Detroit that you?
Yeah. Yes, Detroit was one of those places, and New York was the same too. You had like a group of people who all had this talent, and somehow or another ended up into various groups, and they were starting. Everyone had a little group, you know. You can stand on the street corners and sing, somewhere in the hallways and singing, and it was like this whole little thing happening, and it spun off from the doo-wop, you know, because everyone was, you know, in that doo-wop phase.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of whirlwind type of feeling, and you either had sports and people just were getting into it, and went on from there.
Right. Okay, so during last night's show, prior to covering Norah Jones's Grammy-winning "Don't Know Why," you spoke briefly about the fact that despite the Supremes having 12 number one hits from 1964 to 1969, the Supremes never received a Grammy Award during that time.
No, it did not.
Right. Now, given that Black History Month...
And you know, before you finish, the amazing part about that is we were one of the few groups who had that many hit records even today. I mean, people are just catching up with that record today. Number one records.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, really, at one point during that time, you were more popular than the Beatles. I mean, let's be honest.
Well, we were, you know, it was one of the kind of, but you know, the Beatles were from England. There was that British invasion, and we were Americans. You know, so, I mean, as Americans, I think we had that. But yeah, it was one of those things. In fact, my friend last night said, "Mary, you know, he has a list of how many times the Beatles were number one and we were number one, or they were number two, and we, you know, that whole thing of each song." So I told him, I said, write all of them down so I could see which, you know. He said, yeah, there were lots of times when that would happen, you know, and you guys were just one-upping each other all the time. But what I'm finding out, what I'm seeing, is that still, the Supremes have dropped down, not in popularity, because I think with the people we're still there, but in the polls of things. We're not still up on the polls like a lot of people are, and most of those people are male groups. So I think it's a gender thing.
Well, that's a good point. And
you know, this is Women's Week here, a month.
Right, right.
So I'm speaking up for us girls.
There you go. You know. Well, given that, and the fact that Black History Month for 2017 ended less than a week ago, and last night you covered songs of other historically prominent and progressive female artists like Lena Horne and Joni Mitchell, how have you been influenced by artists like that? And, you know, do you continue to see that inspiration in contemporary female artists?
Well, I have to say that I am kind of an activist, maybe a quiet one, and I love causes, but I choose the ones that I'm really passionate about.
Sure.
And I do think that a lot of times women are not overlooked but underplayed. And so I'm the kind of person, I like to bring out those points about women, you know, and that there are a lot of great female writers, but there are so many male writers. So I tend to want to bring out the female writers. Joni Mitchell is one of the greatest writers we have here in America of songs. Lena Horne was a great star. Unfortunately, it was before, you know, Blacks were accepted in America as being the ultimate star, you know. So I like to bring out their best works and do them. So that's why, yes, I've done a lot of the things for women causes.
Right, right. And like, what other female artists like inspired you as you were growing up in Detroit?
Well, there weren't many. You know, there was like Ethel Waters, I think, was one of the greatest artists of our times when we were growing up back then, as a Black artist. I mean, she did movies, she's on TV and all those kind of things, and was a singer. And probably if that were today, she'd be a bigger star than she was then. But I mean, there are many, many, many. It's hard for me off the bat now to think. Of course, we had the Andrews sisters, who definitely inspired us because they were three. You know, we really kind of emulated a lot of things that they did. Gosh, I mean, I could go on, but I can't think of any right now.
No, I don't mean to put you on the spot. That's fine.
But there are many more. But I tend to kind of, I'm more familiar with Lena because I'm doing her play.
Right.
So that's, and I love doing that. I do a lot of her songs. One of the greatest songs is Yesterday When I Was Young, and she did that in her one woman Broadway play. And I do that in the Lena Horne show that I do. But I didn't want to do so many songs in my show of you know, the people that I admire. Another person is Nancy Wilson. She just had her 80th birthday.
Wow.
And she, of course, inspired me tremendously with her songs. And so I just love her voice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fantastic. So you covered Donna Summer's Last Dance last night.
Oh, yes.
And I apologize if I'm giving away the show here to people who still haven't bought tickets for tonight's show.
You know, it's kind of good to say it because I think a lot of people really do come there expecting me to hear more Supreme songs. So I'm glad that you're bringing this up. That way people will be a little more prepared.
Exactly. In fact, I was pleasantly surprised because I think I kind of went into the show last night thinking that, which of course I would have been fine with because obviously it's your songs are fantastic. But it was a nice, again, a nice surprise, just to put it that way, you know, that again, focusing more on what songs and artists like mean more to you, you know, over the years here, and that is kind of like shaping what this this tour or mini tour or whatever, however you want to describe it, is focusing on that. But the one thing I wanted to, one comment I wanted to make on Donna Summer's pick there last night, you know, that was that intentional? Because I mean, she is a native of Dorchester here in Boston. Did you consciously?
No, it was not intentional, actually.
Okay.
It was still one of the things that we were just talking about, singing songs that of women,
mm-hmm.
who, you know, inspired me in terms of what I do.
Right. Yeah, well, I'll tell you one thing. That went over big here. again, because she's, I mean, you know, she was born here. I know, like, obviously she moved to New York, and that's where her career really took off from, but we still consider her a Boston gal.
Okay, I'm glad you told me that.
There you go. So, I don't know, like, do you have any, are there any, you know, considering your, you know, career, mm-hmm. is there a particular performance, whether here in the U.S., overseas, anything that stands out for any reason? Do you have something like that kind of comes to mind quickly?
Well, we had a tremendous career in lots of huge events, and so, you know, it's almost like trying to say which child you love best. It's hard because,
right,
you know, we did command performances for the royal family in England. That was surely one of the greatest times, because here you are, three little black girls from America during segregation time, performing, you know, in England for the royal family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have great pictures of us with the Queen Mother.
Wow.
After the royal command performance. And that's one of my favorite pictures. You know, then we did, of course, the Dick Clark tours. And that was a major event for us because it was just after our first number one record. Well, it was before our first number one record came, was a hit. And that was still, again, it was 1964. And we were on the Dick Clark tour, Caravan of Stars tours. That was major for us because we were called the No Hit Supremes at Motown.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone else had hit records. Stevie Wonder had gotten a hit record, the Marvelettes, the Vandellas, everyone except us. And so finally we get this record out, Where Did Our Love Go? And it was released while we were on the Dick Clark tour, and it became number one. So that was really the first big major thing that, you know, we did. And it was just, a surprising moment and a wonderful moment because it made me understand that dreams can come true, and they do come true, because our dreams came true with that hit record. We have been praying for a hit record for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
So things like that, and I could go on and on and on about those type of things, you know, then appearing on the Ed Sullivan Show for, I think it was 16 times.
Mm-hmm.
And that was definitely a great time, because before we had our hit records, everyone watched it at Sullivan's Show Sunday nights. The families got around one TV in a home,
mm-hmm.
and without a remote control, and we all, in a small TV, we all, the entire family would watch Ed Sullivan. So when we did finally go on there, and then every Sunday or every other Sunday, he'd invite us back. So those were just a few of the great moments of our career. Now, for me, after the Supremes going on, again, I was, I think I mentioned it on stage, I was appointed a cultural
right.
Ambassador by Colin Powell. Powell.
Yep.
And I traveled just all over the world again, and I spoke on the epidemic of AIDS in all of the African countries, and it was just major. So, you know, there are just many. And then, of course, I had an opportunity to write my book, my two books, actually. One became a bestseller. So that was another dream that came true for me. And I'm presently working on my third book, which is a coffee table book based on the Supremes gowns.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Our iconic gowns.
Right, right.
And they tour in museums. So they've been in Europe at the Victoria and Albert's Museum, and they've been at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Museum, the Grammy Museum out in LA. So they kind of tour as well as me.
Yeah, well, I noticed on your website that you have a section, you know, devoted to that, and there's some great pictures there. So for any of our listeners out there that haven't seen that yet, I highly recommend going to marywilson.com, I believe it is?
Yes.
Right. Yeah, there's some great footage there.
Oh, thank you.
So, all right, well, you know, again, I cannot thank you enough for your time and, you know, and your energy. Everything about last night was just phenomenal. And I mean, you packed the house, of course. I am sure you're going to do the same here this evening. And of course, if anyone listening has not purchased their tickets and you've got nothing better to do, and trust me, you don't, get tickets for this evening.
Well, thank you. And I thank you so much for bringing up the point about my up close show. And that's why I titled it Up Close, because people get a chance to see me right up close and see who I am as a singer, not so much as a Supreme, but just as an individual singer. And and I love both. I mean, I loved being a Supreme, but I also love being able to perform and do the type of things that I personally enjoy as well.
Exactly. And again, you know, that was one of the pleasant surprises I found here, that you were not just kind of, obviously you were a part of that, you know, but you're not riding on the coattails, so to speak, of, you know, the Supremes here, that you are your own, yourself, you know, that and that you are talented and, you know, have your own story. And I think that that is really what people really want to see. Do you know what I mean? I mean, in this day and age, I think that there's all these like reunion tours and things like that, where they're kind of
which are all good.
No, exactly.
You know, we want to know the people that we think we know.
Right. Well, no, exactly. And I think people want, you know, or just enjoy the nostalgia part of it. But at the same time, you know, artists like yourself or anybody else that's really kind of doing these reunion tours, you know, that they have, you know, their own opinions and their own, you know, approach to the art, let's put it that way. And that, I think people, you know, the really diehard fans, let's put it that way, they're the ones who really want to see that aspect of it and not just be like, oh, play me, you know, like for instance, if they go to Billy Joel and play Piano Man, you know, I mean, you know, here it is like, you know, they want to see like the true artist. And
well, I'm glad to hear that.
And you brought that out last night. So, again, thank you so much.
and I'm having my birthday on Monday, 73 years old. I'm so thrilled about that. I cannot wait.
Happy birthday. And I'll tell you one thing. For 73, you look and sound fantastic.
Oh, thank you. And girl, I can hear that.
I'll tell you. I think everybody kind of, you know, was a little shocked to hear that last night. Hey, Mary, thank you so much for everything, for your efforts, your time, and for the tickets as well. I was truly blown away.
Okay, one more thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
That we didn't touch on.
Yep.
Some of the things I'm doing now. Do you want to turn your machine back on?
Oh, no, you're on here again.
Okay, good. Yeah. Now, I'm speaking about some of the newer material that I have recorded. And one of the songs, Time to Move On, was number 19 on the Billboard charts last year.
Nice.
And it's just, it's a dance song, you know. It's not a radio type song. It's more of a disco type song, I guess you can call it. And so I had that with me, but I'm very proud about it because I hadn't had a chart hit in years, and this was like just a fun thing I did.
Mm-hmm.
And also Mother's Day is coming up, so I've been recording an album that has not been released yet with the Mother's Day song on it, and it is released on online, and it's called Johnny May, My Darling Mother. So those who want to have something for their moms on Mother's Day can go on Amazon or iTunes, I believe they told me, and listen to that, or have their moms listen to it. It's really a pretty song dedicated to our moms.
Excellent.
And so those two things. Oh, there's another one too online. I forgot the name of it. But if you type in Mary Wilson, my granddaughter told me you could find it. I haven't done it. I don't know how to do it. But there are two songs there. So that's three new releases that I have. And I'm very proud of those. So I'm still doing those type of things as well.
Excellent. Well, okay. I will definitely look forward to hearing from that. And mm-hmm. You've given me a good idea for Mother's Day present.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mary. Take care of yourself.
Okay. All right.
Peace.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yes, this is 91.5 WMFO Medford. You are listening to Songs from the Squid Pod. I am your host, Savoir Faire, and that was an interview that I conducted with Mary Wilson of the Supremes yesterday. I saw her show. She was in town here in Boston for Friday and Saturday evening. And I'll tell you, if you get a chance to see her live, do not miss it. It was just a phenomenal time. I want to thank her, of course, and also Meg McLean Corso of Universal Music for helping me out with all this. Just a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So thank you so much. Okay. So if you're new to the new to Songs from the Squid Pod, we like to focus on the 80s, and that's what we are going to do for the rest of the hour here. So let's just dive right into it here with Curve.
Did you know you could lose your college financial aid if you get convicted of a minor drug offense? According to the federal government, one-third of all college students have used marijuana in the past year. Imagine the devastation to our nation's economy if all of these students got the punishment that some lawmakers think they deserve. Join Students for Sensible Drug Policy and fight back against the government's drug war attacks on our generation. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out if there's a chapter at your school or how to start one.
Yes, you are listening to Songs from the Squid Pod with your host, Savoir Faire. 20 minutes to go here before Gabe takes over, but we got plenty to get to, so let's talk about what we've been listening to here. If you're just joining us, you missed the interview with Mary Wilson of the Supremes. I had the fortunate pleasure of seeing her at Sculler's Jazz Club here this weekend, and speaking with her yesterday for a little while, which we just aired. But hey, fret not if you missed it. You can always catch the archive version of the show on the station's website at WMFO.org. Just search for Songs from the Squid Pod or any other show that you care to catch up on. All right, well, we started off with Curve, off of their 1991 EP Frozen, and we heard the title track. The Curtain Society, a little local action there. That's from their 2007 release, Every Corner of the Room. We heard the track Two Wonderful Stars. And we wrapped it up, of course, with Cocteau Twins and Sugar Hiccup off of their 1983 release, Head Over Heels. All right, let's dive back into it here with Cutting Curve.
I'm
Yeah, live indeed. You have been listening to Songs from the Squid Pod. I am your host, Savoir Fair. I want to, again, thank Meg Corso of Universal Music and, of course, Mary Wilson of the Supremes for the wonderful interview and opportunity to see Mary live this weekend. Just beside myself here still after all this time. So, that's going to do it for me here. I got time for one more track. But let's talk about what we've been listening to. Started off that set with Cutting Crew and One for the Mockingbird off of their 1987 release Broadcast. Cyndi Lauper off of her 1983 debut, She's So Unusual. We heard Money Changes Everything covering The Brains, of course. And Dana Bryant gave us The Revolution Will Not Be Televised. It's off of the 1993 compilation Giant Steps. And yes, I know it is, time period sensitive, I guess, but it still rings true to this day here. But there you go. All right. Well, again, thanks for listening this week here. I will be posting the transcript of the interview and review of the show this week here on the station's website at WMFO.org. So stay tuned for that. You can always follow me on Twitter at SquidPodMusic or drop me an email if you care to at SquidPodMusic@gmail.com. One quick fun fact here. Today is the 247th anniversary of the Boston Massacre. That's right, folks. A group of colonists had been taunting, the British troops there. And, of course, the British troops fired on them, killing five people. And that was today, March 5th, 247 years ago. So there you go. And, of course, it's Women's History Month. Definitely do not forget that. Take care, everyone. This is David Bowie.